Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Even though we don't see ourselves as better than them, I think this is the best church in the world. Period. If I didn't think that, I love you enough to send you somewhere that I thought was the best church in the world. Tonight, I want to share with you, every morning, Deborah and I get up and have coffee together. She's my best friend, and we talk. We sit in two chairs staring out at the front lawn, and we talk, sometimes for an hour or two, and we talk about Jesus, and we talk about our lives, we talk about our feelings. We've been doing it for as long as I can remember. We always used to sit on the porch in Lake Arrowhead. We had a church up there and talk, and drink coffee. Start the day off with prayer, or start the day off with the Word of God. And lately, the conversation's been different because I'm facing things in my life that I have never faced before. I've never faced what it's like being 70 years old or coming up this next birthday at 70 years old. I've never faced in my life phasing out of something that I love more than anything, which is the church. I don't know how to handle that. I never in my life thought I'd ever hear the voice of the Lord make a statement like, if you love me and love the church, then you need to get out of the way for the next generation. That was difficult to hear the voice of God speak those words to me. By the way, those of you who think that I'm saying goodbye tonight, I'm not. I'm just learning how to deal with these conditions that are changing in my life. Along with that, I'm dealing with some health issues, and they haven't been comfortable for me at all. I'm dealing also with some business issues that we have poured our life into and everything we have into, and they're absolutely stagnant. They are not doing anything. There is no results whatsoever. There is nothing in our life going on that is exciting at this time. We are at a place in our life that we have never been before. We are facing absolutely dull as can possibly be. And it's been a very difficult time on top of the not feeling well as the change of administration, which needs to happen, by the way, for this to be a generational church and for it to, our promise is to keep the church strong and healthy and even stronger. God did give me a vision that is the faster I get out of the way, the more the church is going to double in size. And I'm holding him to that. And that's not easy. That's good on one part. It also feels real horrible on another part on the inside of me to hear those words. Why does it double when I leave? I don't know. It's just going to happen. So there's all kinds of issues. And I sat down this morning, had a cup of coffee with Debbie, and she had her coffee. Puppy jumped up on our laps. And we started talking about these issues. You know, they were just hard. There's nothing, literally nothing going on. Nothing happened. And it was just hard. I started to explain to her how I was feeling. And of course, I'm grateful that I have a partner in life that is full of the Word of God. I mean, thank God I have that partner. Because, you know, you start to look at the natural. And some of you that are looking at the natural get discouraged in your business, your home, or your marriage with your children, finances. You know what I'm talking about. They can really bring you down. And we're such natural people. What we do is we look constantly at circumstances, trying to figure out what's going to take place for us to change. We calculate everything in our mind. We calculate how it's going to happen. Then all of a sudden, you come a time in your life when you just can't think anymore about all the different options. I mean, I sometimes look at her and say, well, here's plan number 87,046,042+.1. You ready to hear another plan, a scenario, God? You know, and it's just like crazy, just crazy. Everything's come to halt. Some of you are in here today, and you know what I'm talking about. Some of you in here today, and you know, quite frankly, you're discouraged. You've looked at your life and you're waiting for something to happen, or something didn't happen when it should have happened. And thank God Deborah and I started talking about the word of the Lord. Today, I want to share this message with you. It's called When Things Don't Look So Good. And I'd like you to write that down. I'd like you to make notes, because whether you're young or old, in your life, there's going to be times when the natural, do you know what I mean by the natural? The circumstances of life, the finances, the checkbook, the boss, the business, the home, you know, the economy, political scene that goes on, all the natural is, doesn't line up with what you're hoping it's going to be like. And then you're going to look at life and you're going to be like saying to yourself, things don't look so good. And that's really where I was at this morning. When Deborah brought up this verses, and they were really powerful verses, I thought I'd share them with you. Because for everybody, whether you're young or old, these are important for you to hold on to. After all of the years, almost 40 years of preaching the gospel, I had got my eyes off of that which was important. Listen to me. And I started every day knowing God, loving God, knowing everything's going to be okay, but my eyes were moving more to the natural than they were to the spiritual. Therefore, it was depressing me and discouraging me. Paul writes, and if you will, in 2 Corinthians, and if you go there with me, go to the 4th chapter. He's starting to make statements, and when he starts to make these statements, he's talking about his life and the example that he and the other apostles are about, and what they look like and what they go through. He makes a statement, you know, those statements you've probably heard before, that this is really about the knowledge of Jesus and not about him. And then he goes on and he says that we have a treasure in these earthen vessels, and that's the excellency of the power of Christ. So he's talking about, even in the midst of problems that he is experiencing, Paul, that the answer is found on the inside, and it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to keep hold of that. In the 4th chapter, we won't have it on the overhead. In verse number 9, he says, you know, you're persecuted, but you're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life of Christ also may be manifested in our bodies. He's getting older. He's passing on. Things are down. It's kind of a depressing, discouraging. Things don't look so good. But at the end of the chapter, he starts to say something to every one of us. Now, I find this fascinating. God felt like it was so important what he was expressing, that it was pinned for you and I and preserved for thousands of years so you could look into the heart of God and see a key to your future. And in verse number 16, he says, after all of these things, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're going to keep on going, that the glory of God be manifest. Then in verse number 16, the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he writes these words, therefore, we do not lose heart. And this was the subject Deborah and I talked about. And it's interesting because the word therefore, you know, is therefore what he just got through saying. But I thought these words were really powerful. We do not, we do not, we do not, we do not lose heart. Why would he say that unless you could lose your heart? And using that as an example for us, that you could forget about what God spoke to you, forget about what life is about, forget about the glory of God, forget about the power of God, and keep your eyes on the natural and get real discouraging and really give up on everything and you lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, and it's that way with every one of us that are in here, physically you're all dying. You might as well get that picture. But oh, thank God there's something taking place on the inside, because we're only supposed to spend a certain amount of time here on the earth. But in that time that we're on the earth, something fantastic is taking place that's on the inside of us. The inward man's renewed day by day. And it's what you do with the inward man that has a lot to do with your future. You have this life here. And what you do with that inward man that's going on, that's being renewed every single day, has a lot to do with how you're going to think, what you're going to come up with, and everything. See the word up there, heart? We don't lose heart. What he's really saying there is the word heart is an interesting word. It incorporates a lot of things. It's not the heart that beats in your chest. That's what he's talking about. What he's talking about is your emotions, all of your emotions. Talking about your very character and expressions, the very expressions of your body language, the very expressions of your words, the very expressions that you have because of your thinking, that inner man that makes you who you are. That's the heart. It's the very soul and the physical activities of your life. That's what the heart is describing. He says, when you lose your heart, you really lose everything and all the potential that God could have done while you're here on the planet. And sometimes we have a tendency to lose our heart in things. And I know I didn't lose it, but I was belly aching to my wife this morning about some things in my life that I didn't like. It wasn't that I was being mistreated. I'm not mistreated at all by anybody. I'm so honored in this place. It's amazing. And I'm so respected in the world. It's amazing. I'm amazed at that. I don't deserve any of it. But inside of me, I was losing heart because everything had come to a stop and a still, and everything had come to this dull, no activity situation. And I'm at the place where Dan's message meant so much to me this morning of endurance and patience. Oh, man. It was like Dan read my mail. He was having coffee with us this morning, and I needed to hear that. I'm going to share with you tonight a couple of quick principles out of the Word of God. Why you don't want to lose your heart. Now listen. When I say heart, I'm talking about you, your character. Remember, your attributes, your speech, your thinking, your language of the body, your feelings, your who you are. When you lose who you are, you lose the life you have. And he says that we could lose our heart. And I want to share why you don't want to lose your heart. Number one, your heart carries your life. Everything you are, all of your thinking, I already said that. It carries your attitude. It carries your character. It carries everything. There's this guy named David who became the second king of Israel, but the real king that God loved. The Bible makes a statement a couple of times about David that he is a man after God's own heart. I don't know, there's nobody else that I could see that was that way in the Bible, but God says that a number of times in the Bible about David. David wasn't perfect. David made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of sins, and David messed around too much. But you know, there's something about David, his heart, his who he was, his character, his attributes, his speaking, his vision, his sight. And the very thing that made David who he was a thing that caught the eye of God. He's a little boy on the hills of Judea, probably in his teenage years, or maybe even early teens, watching his father's sheep, who's a very wealthy man. And you know the story that a lion and a bear came and took the sheep, the little lambs, out of the flock. And David went out and caught the lion and the bear and killed them. The very character of David was that he was not going to allow something to happen that was wrong. He was not going to put up with something that was going to take place. Would his father ever know that the sheep had been eaten? Probably not. Would his father miss the sheep? Probably not. He was a very wealthy man. But David had something on the inside of him. He had a heart that said it's a right thing to do and a wrong thing to do, and I'm going to make sure, and he, listen to this, laid his own life at stake. Think about it. Who goes after a lamb to rescue from the mouth of the lion? Most of us would say, listen, Mr. Lion, go have it, but don't come back again. I'm not getting near you at all. And go hide from the lion as he eats the sheep, right? Or the bear. I mean, who's going to attack the bear and fight the bear? This guy lays his life down for something insignificant. He had a heart after the things of God. That's the way God is. He didn't look at the natural. The natural says, I'm running. The natural says, I'm hiding. The natural says, man, that's a lion that'll kill me. The natural says, that's a bear who will claw me and tear me into pieces and run from that and let him have the sheep or the lamb. But he doesn't. He kills the lamb. He kills the sheep. That's the very heart. And a lot of times we don't realize that the heart is like, if you will, the very glass that carries the water. And you know, when you have a glass, you have water inside of it, and you carry, or a soft drink or a juice or something that's carried by the glass. The very part that carries your life is the heart. And if you lose the glass, like anybody in this place ever had a glass of water or juice or something and dropped it? How about kids that drop their milk glass and they go all over the place? When the container, when that literal glass is broken, it's all over the place, and the water is dispersed everywhere and it becomes a loss. And it's the same thing with your heart in the things of God. That oftentimes what we do is we lose our heart because our eyes are on the natural and our voice is in the natural and our speaking and our thinking is in the natural instead of the supernatural. Yeah. Yep. And what God is looking for is the people to realize how important this heart really is. It's the very thing that houses and contains your life, your future. If he can get your heart, he'll get your plans. He'll get your family. He'll get your finances. He'll get your courage. He'll get your thinking. He'll get your hope. If he can get your heart, the devil will take you and run you down to the place where you cannot live in this planet any longer. Losing heart is something you and I cannot afford to do because it's like the glass that holds our life and everything that's in our life of any importance whatsoever. The Bible says, I'll just throw it on the overhead for you, in Proverbs 4, chapter 1, number 23. It says, keep your heart with, and then he doesn't just say keep your heart, he says keep your heart with all diligence. Why would he say all diligence if it was easy to keep your heart? It's not easy to keep your heart. You know why? Because your heart contains the very spiritual attributes of God on the inside of you. And oftentimes, the negative, worldly, fleshly stuff of the world comes in and pollutes what God says, pollutes what God wants to do in your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In other words, here's this container you've got. Inside of it is all the issues of life. If you don't hold that container in place, then all the issues of life spill out. And all of a sudden, you've got it. And that's why you and I, sure there's issues in our life. Sure there's, if you will, tough times. Sure there's discouragements and frustrations. Sure there's natural things that take place. I'm not trying to say you won't have problems and trials and tribulations, but you got to get your eyes off of those things because they will spill your life everywhere and get your eyes back on who fills the heart. Is anybody listening? And that's kind of where we were at for a long time. My thinking, listen to this, and my speaking are contained in my heart. And if I lose my heart, my thinking goes astray, and my speaking becomes something that's horrible. Let's take a look at it for just a moment, because I'm going to make a statement to you, and you ought to write it down, because it's important for you. Here's something why we don't want to lose our heart. My thinking determines my outcome. Let me say it again. If you have lousy thinking, you will have a lousy life. Bottom line, the issues of life come out of your heart, and your heart, your thinking is good. If you're thinking you can't make it, trust me, you can't make it. If you're thinking you will never be anything, trust me, you will never be anything. If you're thinking you'll never have a chance, you'll never have an opportunity, you'll never make it whatsoever, you'll never make it, you'll never have anything. Your thinking is so important because it literally is so important. It determines the outcome of your life. And if you have thinking that is constantly depressed and down and discouraged based on the natural world, have you ever turned on the television set and watched the news? The news is designed to tear you down, get you in fear so that you're in such fear, you'll go back and watch it again the next night, hoping that it'll be better. But has anybody ever seen it better? It's never better. And the same problems we fought 40 years ago is the same problems just amplified that are on the news that you watch right now. And some people tune onto the news all the time. I'm going to tell you something, and you can do it or not do it. I would tell you to turn the news off and get into the good news, and you'll find your life changing. Because as you think will determine the outcome of your life. I remember this couple just a couple months ago. I met with his pastor for lunch. When we're having lunch together, he says, "Do you remember?" And he gave me the people's name. I said, "Yes," and I laughed when I heard their name. He said, "You know what happened to them?" I said, "No," looking like I'm like an idiot thinking they probably failed. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the people before I tell you what happened. Years ago, probably 30 years ago, when Debbie and I were young in our 30s, we had a church. They would come and visit every now and then. And this couple was a different kind of a couple. If I remember having a meal with them one time, and during the meal, they brought out a book. And in the book was all of their thinking. They had pictures of their new car. In those days, it was a Mercedes. They had pictures of a motorhome. They had pictures of a big house. They had pictures of wealthy things, literally material things. I thought, how unspiritual is this? You know, this is just so ridiculous. And they made this statement to us. They said, "God's going to bless us. We know it. We're tithers, we're givers. And God's going to bless us." And I remember talking to many people about them. They went from like church to church in those days. And we knew them. And they never really settled here at the Rock because we weren't into them having any kind of leadership because they were just a little too radical and too strange with their book and all of their beliefs. So I'm having lunch about 2 months ago with this pastor. And he says to me, he says, "Jim," he says, "do you remember so-and-so?" And I said, "Yeah," and I kind of laughed, thinking, you know, they were strange, they moved on. He says, "You'll never believe what happened to them." I said, "What?" He says, "A long-lost relative they didn't even know they had died and left all of the money to another relative of theirs, millions of dollars, and they didn't get a penny." He says, "And then that relative got sick immediately and died, and they ended up inheriting millions of dollars." I said, "You are kidding me. Why don't they go to our church?" What a dope I was. 30 years it took them. I don't even know what kind of job he had. I don't know, it was some insignificant job. They were broke for 30 years, but they kept believing that God was going to bless them. You couldn't talk them out of it. You could throw them out of your church because they were too weird. But I'm here to tell you today, they don't even go to church. They have millions of dollars in the bank. You know why? Because people aren't faithful. Their job wasn't faithful. And that looking at their material things for the last 30 years wasn't faithful. But God Almighty touched them in such a way that His favor took place in everything. See, what you think will determine the outcome of your life. And if you lose your heart, you're going to lose it all. So important for us. Notice what it says in Proverbs 23, verse number 7. Just the first part of this verse. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Don't lose your heart, because as you think in your heart, that's what you will become. It may not happen right away. It may not happen overnight. And most likely it won't happen overnight. But guess what? It's going to happen. It just has to happen. God will make it happen. Don't lose your heart. We're talking about why you don't want to lose your heart. Number one, your heart carries your life. Number two, my thinking determines my outcome. And it's what as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But I like this. Number three, if you have a numbering system, it says your mouth speaks your future. So your mind determines your future, but your mouth will speak your future. And a lot of times we just let anything go. You know, I'll never have anything because I'm uneducated. I'll never have anything. I don't have any degrees. I'll never have anything. I'm not smart enough. You'll never have anything because you really don't have anything in your life. You don't have any situation. You're not in the right kind of job. You're not in the right kind of city. You're born on the wrong side of the tracks. You'll never have anything. The problem with that kind of talking and speaking is it really limits the God that can do anything. All things are possible to him that believes. Does it not say that? So therefore, you and I have got to get our speaking in line with what our thinking should be. Because our mouth speaks your future. Jesus is talking in this particular situation. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse number 45, and he makes this statement. Jesus himself, he says, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Out of the good treasure of his what? Now, come on, everybody. Out of the good treasure of his what? Heart. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, then we talk about this. Listen to this. The what speaks? The mouth. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself just failing. I heard a story many years ago about this young man who worked for a gardening company in Mentone. He was a Christian, just a young guy, worked for a gardening company, and he would go try to get business, you know, mowing lawns, taking care of things. Went to this guy's house. The guy's house was a hoarder. You know what a hoarder is? You ever see the television shows, a hoarder? The guy barely opened the door, came out, didn't want to talk. He says, sir, I'll take care of the front of your house. It's pretty much in the heart of town. And he says, I'll take care of the front of your house and mow the lawn for you and take care of everything. And he says, I'll do it for $10 a week for you. The guy that's a hoarder on the inside, no, I'll do it for a dollar. The guy said, $1 a week? Not worth coming out here. It's not worth doing anything. But there was something about the old guy on the inside who was half hiding behind the door that he felt something for. And he says, okay, I'll do it for a dollar. Because it's not about what I have that makes me great. It's about what I do that makes me great. It's about how I do with him. Years went by, and every week he would mow that man's front yard, pick up all the trash and everything. And there would be a dollar underneath the door. So he went up to the door. The guy would talk through the door at him and say, there's your dollar. And he just did it. And everybody laughed at him. His friends laughed at him. Some of you need to do things that are just kind and good. Just start speaking that God's going to bless you. Because even though your friends will belittle you, and even though people will call you crazy, and even though people won't believe in what you have to say, I'm here to tell you, God's behind you. And it's not about whether you make money in this world. It's a whether or not God anoints what you do. And God opens the door. Years later went by. That old man died. He had nobody to leave the property to. He left it to that young man who was no longer a young man, but a young adult in his early 20s. And when the young man was found that it was left to him, the police had gone in to carry the body away. There was a will that was written for that man to have the house. He went in and he started cleaning out the house. It's a hoarder's house, you know. It had everything. You can think of everything he ever owned. Went back for years and realized the magazines that were in the house were worth a fortune. Back was an old motorcycle stuck in back, worth a fortune. He sold everything off and came up with thousands and thousands of dollars. And when he was cleaning, he moved a board and a floor and pulled it up. And there were $250,000 and $100 bills. Not only does the story not stop there, but let me tell you how the story goes on. The property had been zoned commercial for future development and sat right in the middle of the town. And this boy, who just did it for a dollar, ended up a multimillionaire just from the man's property and the money that he found in the man's house. Let me tell you something. When you start saying to yourself and looking at yourself and saying, I can't make it. It's just too hard. I'm just not smart enough. I just don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I'm certainly not going to be in the right place at the right time. You know, I'm just not one of those people that are ever going to make it. I'm here to tell you something. The God who created the heavens and earth, if you put your heart in him, he will see what you do. And he, like David, he will make you a king in your land. Come on, somebody. It's true. But you can't speak and lose your heart and start speaking, I'm ugly, I'm a failure, I'll never make it. Some of you are saying, I'll never have a man. I'm too ugly. I'll never have anybody love me. I'm too ugly. I'll never have anybody care for me. I'm too intelligent. I'm too ignorant. I'll never be anything. My mom was this way. My dad is just a luck of the dice. I'm just no good. Can I tell you something? When you speak stuff like that, you stop the God who created the heavens and the earth from ever doing anything on your behalf. You need to say all things are possible to him that believes. Come on, somebody. We're talking about why we don't want to lose our heart and how important it is. Let me just say this about the mouth also. Here's another one. If you were making notes, number three, your mouth will define or defile you. Your mouth will define or defile you. There was this man, and I'll just tell you the story in 2 Kings. I was just reading it before I came to church tonight. There was a great famine in the land. A lot of people don't know what a famine is. You don't live in a time of famine, but let me explain to you what it means. There's no food. The crops have dried up. Famine means there's no water. The wells are dried up. People are dying of hunger and starvation. We don't know what that's like. Other parts of the world do know what that's like, and you will find the world still has great famines where people suffer. There was a great and deep famine in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. And Elisha goes and makes a statement. There was no food to be had, and there was nothing to eat. There was no water to drink. And he makes a statement in verse number 1. He says these words, the famine, he says, is great in the land. Everybody's starving. He says, but tomorrow morning, now listen to this. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be enough food in this land that bread will sell for a penny a loaf, and a bushel of wheat will sell for a couple of pennies. And a man next to him made this statement. He says, you gotta be kidding. That's a bunch of baloney. God could open up the heavens and pour out all that he could from the heavens. We still wouldn't have bread for a penny and all of that wheat for sale. One man believed God, spoke it. Another man said, no, it won't happen. Well, it just so happens the Syrians had been in the land raiding the areas, and they were just persecuting all of the people of God, and this prophet was speaking. And what had happened is that the Syrians had been camped down in this valley. And because they were camped in the valley, they had a lot of food, a lot of wealth. They had a lot of water. They had a lot of wine. They had a lot of bushels of wheat. They had a lot of everything you could possibly imagine. And four lepers made a statement. They said, "We can go down into the camp of the Syrians and die and starve down there, or we can stay up here and die. But it might be if we get up from where we're at, four lepers, and we go down in that camp, maybe somewhere along the line before we die, we might be able to eat something." So these four lepers stand up and they walk down to the Syrian camp. And as they're walking, God takes their footsteps, makes them so loud that the, if you will, the Syrians go crazy thinking there's an army coming after them. They start to get worried. They start to get fussy. They start to argue among each other. They said, "The armies are coming. You can hear them." And they grab anything they can and they run as fast as they could to save their life. And when the lepers get down there, everything is left. All the food, all the water, all the cheese, all the wheat, all the bread, all everything. They eat and they eat and they eat and they go back and tell the children of Israel. And the children of Israel are so starving, they run to get down to the valley. And do you know what happens when they run? They run over the one guy that said, "God can't do this, even if he opened up the heavens," and he gets trampled and he dies. And can I just say something to you? If you look at the scriptures, the prophet said, "Everybody else will eat, but you will not eat of this because you said that." Can I say this to you? Your mouth determines your future. It'll either condemn you, or it'll defile you, or it will define you. Your call. Let the mouth define you in the ways of the Lord. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse number 10, you just pop it up for me. "For with the heart one believes." Don't lose your heart. Listen to this. This is how you got saved. And watch this. "Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Two things take place for your salvation. Your heart and your mouth. It's the same exact principle for the blessings of the Lord. Your heart and your mouth. And a lot of times we forget this and we let the conditions of the world, just like it depressed me, sitting there having coffee, saying, "You know, you're my best friend. Let me tell you, I'm feeling heavy. I'm dealing with stuff I've never dealt with before. I'm discouraged. I don't know. I know it's right, but I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, we live in a house that I gave to the church. We don't even have a house to move to. Don't have anything, don't know where we're going, what we're gonna do." But you know what? My Deborah encouraged me today. She says, "Let's don't lose our heart." And she started talking about that. Don't lose your thing, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And watch the words of your mouth. They'll either define you or defile you. They'll either be a person that's gonna get, God can make something happen, bang, overnight, when you don't think they can happen. Just like with that guy that was, a mowing a lawn. He's a wealthy man. How? Not because he got all the education, did everything right. It's because he believed God and God did something overnight. God is the God of the suddenly. And suddenly there was God on the scene. And suddenly something comes to pass. And you got saved by believing in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. And if you didn't, in a few minutes you can get saved. Tonight, when things don't look good, remember the devil is after your heart. Because out of the heart is the very container of your life. Your thinking determines where you're going, but your mouth defines your future. And today, listen, don't lose your heart. I love those words we're in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. After you've done the will of God, after you've done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. Sometimes it might take you 30 years with a lot of people criticizing you, including your pastor. But if you have a heart for it, God's going to do something great. Come on, if God spoke to you, give the Lord a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.